Mushi mushi, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dolt Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I am joined by my guest host, Maverick, today. How are you doing, Maverick?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on here, the Simpsons guy. Appreciate it. Always fun.
Always a pleasure to have you on board. You always add a little bit of extra nerd knowledge to our podcast.
I'm glad I can contribute.
All right. So before we go on, let me talk a little bit about Puppy Hustle. That is my sister-in-law's Poshmark business. You can open up a Poshmark account and enter the code word Puppy Hustle and get $5 off of your order. A little bit about her business. You know, she throws a couple of bucks our way here at the podcast, so we appreciate it, and we're going to help her out by mentioning her little store as well. Puppy Hustle. Our curated fashion is the perfect mix of modern and vintage, trendy and timeless, and allows us to save the world with sustainable clothing, one pre-loved garment at a time. Sign up for a Poshmark account and use the code word Puppy Hustle, all one word, by the way, P-U-P-P-S-U-T-L-E, when signing up for the account, and you get $5 off of your order.
You skipped a couple letters there, Simpsons guy.
I didn't. P-U-P-P-Y-S-U-H-U.
Yeah, you missed a couple letters in there. It's two words, Puppy Hustle.
It's one word.
Yeah, it's two words, but one word.
Yes, puppy and then hustle. P-U-P-P-Y-H-U-S-T-L-E.
There you go.
I am learning to spell after 45 years.
You pulled a Simpsons moment there with Homer. I am so smart.
Yes, S-M-R-T. By the way, did you realize that was a mistake?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. We'll talk more about that when we get to that episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything you'd like to let everybody know while we have you on the line there, Maverick?
Yeah. For those who have been following on and off and may remember that I used to be part of a gaming crew called the DTS Gaming Crew. Unfortunately, I am no longer part of that crew. I did go solo. It wasn't something that I was planning to do, but hey, it happened, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. It's we talked a little bit about this in your past podcast. It was a specific gaming page, or like gaming videos, gaming strategy pictures, anything that you can think of related to this game, I'm trying to do for HeroClix. And that's actually a game that we played a couple weeks ago, right, Simpsons guy?
Yeah, you came over and we played the hell out of some HeroClix before we went on our 2 week vacation. Yes.
It's a game that I've been playing for 15 years now that I'm realizing this, and I decided, why not, right? Like, why not make my own videos? Yes. Go ahead.
15 years?
15 years, yeah.
Damn, I didn't know it was that long. I've been playing,
I don't think you had been playing that long. Yeah.
No, I haven't been playing 15 years, but I've been playing, well, I guess,
since like 2007, like 13.
Yeah. 13 years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's when the Avengers set came out. Anyways.
Memories.
Yes. So, you know, I've been playing for so long and I'm pretty decent at it. I want to say like I'm great. I'm not the best, but I'm pretty decent at it. And so I was like, well, why not make my own page, right? Like, so I can teach players strategy. One of the more recent videos I made right now was how to play the game solo. So in case you want to start out, you know, before you can try to get a friend into it, I teach you how to play the game solo, which is also useful because we're going through COVID-19 again, like cases are spiking. So sometimes you want to limit your interactions. And I made a video specifically how to play that game solo so you can give that game a shot. If you ever get the chance to, it's called Casual Clixin, two words, but put together, C-A-S-U-A-L, CLIXIN, Casual Clixin. I call it Casual Clixin because it's kind of like a what is that word called? Like a shortened version of Casual Hero Clixin, which is the name of the game, Hero Clix. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I'm putting up top 10 videos as well, sharing pictures on Instagram, getting people involved on Twitter, giving them previews of the stuff that I do behind the scenes on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Casual Clixin. Look for my YouTube channel that has some interesting videos for beginners. And
by the way, you're going to have to teach me how do you do those cool videos. I want to know those transitions and stuff like that. Just so I can keep the kids entertained if we have to do the whole online education crap again.
Yeah, we're going to do that for a month, by the way. Anyways, I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Just send me a date and we'll get together and make that time, so that way you can make awesome videos as well. But yeah, check it out. Casual Clixin, at Casual Clixin.
The videos, by the way, are very, professional looking, dare I say.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Very informative. It is a very fun game. Until people start taking it too serious. And it happens.
It happens with any game. So you can't you can't just blame it on this game.
No. But it's like... I don't know. I would say it's a more fun, rage-inducing form of Monopoly.
Monopoly is like the Jim Belushi of board games. I'm sorry, I've been watching Community a lot, and they bash Jim Belushi a lot for some reason.
Yeah, they do. That is a very entertaining show also.
Yes. I was trying to say is like the HeroClix, like it is a little more, way more in-depth than something like Monopoly, but it's a lot of fun once you get the hang of it.
Yeah. I think you described it as 5D chess once, and I think that's a pretty good description for it.
That's right. I agree. 5D chess.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, on to our program here on Homer's Dolt Nuts. And today we are going to be talking about the episode where we left off, which is Bart's dog gets an F. Bart's dog gets an F, and this show was originally aired on March 7th of 1991. It is the 16th episode of the second season. Man, we got a bunch of seasons that we have to get through on our quest to document the entire series.
Yes, we do.
Well, anyway, so we're going to start off with our typical chalkboard and couch gags. The chalkboard gag, we see Bart writing, "I will not sell school property."
That's been done before, by the way.
Yes, it has, right? It's one of the few times that they do a repeat of the... chalkboard gag.
Yeah.
Usually it's like a one and done thing.
Mm-hmm.
The couch gag is a little different, I think. I don't think I've seen this one. They all run up to the couch and they all fit. But this time you can include Santa's little helper and Snowball too as well. Even the family pets fit onto the couch comfortably.
It's funny that they did that intro because like the topic comes up on how the Simpsons view their pets.
Yeah.
And so...
It is true.
Yeah, can't wait to get into this episode.
All right. So, we're going to start off this episode with Homer getting up to get the morning newspaper, but Santa's little helper has already gotten to it and has torn it to shreds with his teeth. And while this is happening, Marge is waking Lisa up for school. But there is a problem. Marge says, "Lisa, you don't look well." And then Lisa's like, I'll make it, Mom. Just take the lunchbox to my hand. And if you look at Lisa, her little cheeks are swollen. She looks like she's got, like, you know, those chipmunks that stuff nuts into their cheeks. So you can tell she's sick right away. And Marge is very quick to diagnose her, too.
Right. And a pretty accurate diagnosis as well.
Yes, right? She says, I think you have the mumps, right? At this point, Homer gets up from the breakfast table to yell at Marge. Homer's like, Marge, the dog is hungry. And then Marge responds in a sing-song voice, well, then feed him. And Homer doesn't like this at all, because he replies, yes, master.
I might jump in really quick, Simpsons guy. This is actually my favorite interaction of the whole show.
We've used that line a lot.
Yes, exactly for that reason. I mean, we grew up saying that. We grew up repeating those lines. I don't know how many times, thousands.
I know.
Flashbacks. Man. Yeah. Still used to this day, by the way.
Yes, yes. My wife doesn't get the reference a lot of the times, but I keep using it. Anyway, we see Homer returning back to the breakfast table, and we see Santa's little helper helping himself to Homer's breakfast. And at this point, Homer is infuriated, and he locks, you know, he chains, I guess I should say, chains Santa's little helper up to the tree that is outside. And Santa's little helper is so full of, mischief, that we soon see him dig a perfect circle around the tree. And he digs up all of the grass. And sooner or later, he picks up an old crusty doll that he buried at some point out of the pit that he is making. Inside the house, we have Marge calling Dr. Hibbard about Lisa's illness, right? And you know, he tells Dr. Hibbard she thinks he has the mumps. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Dr. Hibbard and the family sort of have a real Cosby Show vibe to it.
Yeah, with all those sweaters he wears.
Yeah, he's wearing those ugly sweaters. And he's seemingly has the perfect family. And of course, he's a doctor just like Dr. Theo Huxtable. This is all before we found out what a monster he really was, right? Anyway. Dr. Hibbert says, well, you know, I'd like to make my own professional diagnosis, right? He didn't just want to take Marge's diagnosis of mumps offhand, and he insists on seeing her. So Lisa will not be going to school today because she's going to go to the doctor. And as soon as Bart sees Lisa, he is enraged. He says, no way, she's faking it. If Lisa stays home, I stay home. And then Lisa's like, if Bart stays home, I'm going to school. And then Bart's like, fine. Then, wait a minute. You see his eyes going back and forth as he starts to sort of think about this, right? If Lisa goes to school, then I go to school. But then Lisa stays home, so I stay home. So Lisa goes to school, and then Marge goes, Lisa, don't confuse your brother like that. Because she could tell that he was trying to work the logic puzzle out in his mind. Next thing we know, we see Bart getting his stuff and walking out the door. And Lisa says, don't forget to get my homework. And Bart turns around and he says, Lisa, you wasted chicken pox. Don't waste the mumps. What do you think about Bart's advice here?
I agree with Bart. You know, I was, I like to think I was a pretty good student. Always did my work on time, even homework. And, But when I'd get sick, that was like a special occasion. I could take a day off and not have to worry about schoolwork. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much that you can do when you're sick. You're not going to do your homework. Why? I mean, I never did. If I'm sick, I'm sick. I'm laying in bed. I agree with Bart here.
Yeah, I think I spent most of those days watching The Price is Right and Family Feud.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, back when we didn't have much options anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So we both kind of agree that Lisa should stop being such a square and relax and be a kid for once.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Mm-hmm. Next thing we know, we see Santa's little helper breaking free from his collar, and he runs up to the bus as Bart is trying to climb on the bus.
What's the name of that collar?
Yeah, I was about to say, the name of the collar was Never Break.
Never Break.
And of course, it broke. And I don't know how a collar can call itself Never Break. If you notice the price, it was like 89 cents. So, like, if you buy a collar that says Never Break and it breaks, and it only costs you 89 cents, are you really going to be surprised?
It's a lesson that you have to learn sometimes on your own.
Yep. What do you? That's a... I know how you say it in Spanish, but how would you say it in English? The cheap stuff is more expensive in the long run, I guess.
Yeah, that's about right.
I think that's about how it goes. Anyway, so Otto refuses to let Santa's little helper on the bus, and Bart kind of says, go back home. And at this point, we get to see the little point of view from Santa's little helper, and everything is kind of hazy and black and white. And when Bart is talking to him, all we hear is blah, 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 blah. I don't know if this is meant to be like another version of not the Terminator version, but the Predator version, the Vision, I mean.
Interesting.
He only sees stuff really hazy unless he's like smelling it, then it becomes crystal clear.
Yeah. No, I had never thought about that.
Yeah. I was when I was watching it again this morning, I was like, hey, that kind of reminds me of the Predator. Well, anyway, so Santa's little helper is unsuccessful in climbing on the bus, but he does not go home either. He starts to roam down the street, and he sort of licks up and eats a ladybug. Was it a ladybug? It was colored green, but I'm going to call it a ladybug anyway.
There's green ladybugs, aren't there?
Are there? I don't know. I'm not an entomologist. So. Any of you bug nerds out there, if there are green ladybugs,
yes, there are.
Please drop me a note.
Yes, there are. Yes, I'm looking at them. And I'm positive that I saw one like less than a month ago in my backyard.
Really?
Yeah, being serious, I'm looking at them.
Are they like immature? Are they like immature or a different type of ladybug?
Well, it says here, according to Google, these pretty green ladybugs are not really ladybugs at all, but spotted cucumber beetles.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's even more interesting. Now I got to look this up.
Hey, I need you to be Maverick right now, not Jamie. Right. When I say Maverick, pull it up, you may pull it up, right? Other than that, we're going to continue here, right? So he eats this green, not ladybug, but I guess we just found out it was a what now?
Spotted cucumber beetle.
Okay. So he eats a spotted cucumber beetle. Then he walks past the Quickie Mart, and he kind of gets freaked out when the doors slide open. Automatically, when he walks past the door, then he comes back and he sees the doors open again, and he goes in and he grabs some beef jerky off the counter. Apu sees all this happening and says, you wandering mongrel, get out of my mom and pop operation, right? And as we see Santa's little helper escape from the Quickie Mart. Right, so next thing we know, we see a flock of geese outside, And the old neighbor, Sylvia Whitfield, is calling the Simpson house. And Homer answers. And she starts to complain about Santa's little helper jumping into her pool. Right? And they have a nice little discussion, don't they, Maverick?
Yeah. it's actually a pretty funny conversation that... like always, and Homer ends up looking very foolish.
Yeah, right. She's like, come get your dog. It's in my pool, wrecking my yard. And he's like, what makes you think it's my dog, right? And Homer's like, I'm sorry, Miss Whitfield's like, because only one neighbor is inconsiderate enough to have such a lousy mutt running around, blah, blah, blah. And then Homer's like, well, I tied up my dog in my backyard myself. So I know it's not my dog, right? And while he's having this this little argument with her, he's walking toward the toward the window, and he takes a look at the backyard, and he sees the backyard is indeed torn up, but there's no Santa's little helper. So while she's arguing with Miss Whitfield over the phone, all of a sudden all we hear is "Don't!" when he realizes that it is indeed is his dog in her backyard in the swimming pool.
So much for that never break collar.
Yep. Yep. You get what you pay for, kids.
Yes, you do.
If you're going to buy a 89-cent dog collar and expect it to last forever, I have news for you. Anyway, so Homer goes goes over to the Whitfield's house with a metal chain to sort of tie Santa's little helper up and bring him back home. And as they're walking up the sidewalk, he decides to shake himself dry. And this is when Homer sees Ned Flanders power walking.
Yeah.
power walking with the movements and everything down the sidewalk, right? And Homer can't get enough of Ned's getup, right? He starts making fun of his headband, his sweater, right? His wrist and ankle weights. But then he sees his shoes and he says, assassins! Right? I guess those were the Jordans of the Simpsons world.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they would be named assassins, but I mean, who else, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be able to name it after a player without being biased.
Yeah, and I'm sure the player would want to get some of that money too.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you're going to use my name, I expect to be compensated.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Homer proceeds to ask Ned about the assassins, right? How much they cost and all that. Well, Ned starts describing them, right? You know, they've got the Velcro straps, a water pump in the tongue. By the way, guys, that was a thing back in the day. It wasn't a water pump, but it was an air pump. So you could, like... I guess press on the little tongue of your sneakers and it would pump the shoe full of air so it would be nice and snug around your feet. You remember those?
Yeah, don't they still make those?
I don't know. I'm not a sneakerhead, so I could really care less.
Yeah, I'm not either, so I could have sworn I saw an ad for one not too long ago. That's why I'm asking. You have kids, maybe. Well, I figured you knew.
Well, you know, Rodrigo, he's not that big into things. As long as they're like black or gray or plain color that doesn't call too much attention, he's going to wear them.
Interesting.
Yeah. My other son, though, Diego, we might want to consult him because he's got more shoes than I know what to do with.
Yeah.
But he's still in California.
Yeah.
He'll be back next month, by the way.
Make sure to ask him.
Yes, I will. Anyway. So he keeps describing the assassins, right? Like built-in odometer, reflecting sidewalls, and little vanity license plates. And we can see the license plates on the back of his shoes say Ned all over them. right? And Homer's like, how much? And Ned is like, well, you know, they're not giving them away. I guess not really wanting to say how much he paid for them. Next thing we know, we're at Dr. Hibbard's clinic or hospital, wherever the hell he works out of, and he diagnoses Lisa with the mumps. And of course, you know, Marge has to be pleased with herself for diagnosing this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Marge is probably full of herself right now.
Yep. And Dr. Hibbard goes, I guess you'll be missing a week of school, young lady. And Lisa goes, oh, no, I don't want to fall behind my class. And Dr. Hibbert goes, ho, 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 ho. Oh, such responsibility for such a young girl. And Dr. Hibbert tries to make, you know, polite conversation with her and asks Lisa what her favorite subject is. And she says it's arithmetic. And she's, you know, Dr. Hibbert humors her and is like, well, sooner or later you'll be back with your algebraic expressions and Euclidean algorithms, and here's take a rest and have yourself a wowie pop. And that's how he says it, a wowie pop, right? He's being really condescending to Lisa right now. But Lisa gets back home and calls Homer, who's at work, and asks him to pick up some magazines for her on his way home. All right, Homer's like, yellow. Oh, hi, Lisa. What's wrong? The mumps. Oh, the kissing disease. He says, oh, my little girl is growing up. And to which Lisa says, quit it, Dad. And she kind of laughs it off. And he takes her order for the magazines, right? Teen Screen, Teen Scene, Teen Steam. Well, okay, I guess you're the sickies, right? So he agrees to buy Teen Steam for her as well. And when Homer gets the order, Lenny happens to be there. And Homer asks Lenny to cover for him. And Lenny says, sure, no problem, right? And what does Lenny do to cover for Homer, Maverick?
He does the same thing that Homer probably would have been doing at that time, which is leaning back on his chair, eating some donuts and taking it easy.
Right. When Homer says cover for him, Lenny literally covered for him and did all of the things that Homer normally would be doing or not be doing, however you want to think about it, while he's quote unquote working. Back at the Simpson house, Marge is revealing Lisa the existence of the family quilt. It even smells historic, says Lisa, right? I believe Marge describes it as six generations of the Bouvier family work, right? That's what they take great pride in, stitching the memories into a quilt. And Lisa points out that she does not know how to quilt, how to sew. And Marge consoles her by saying, the memory of a million drop stitches flows in your veins. Right? Telling her that she's genetically programmed to know how to sew, right? And she threads a needle in a very flashy manner, right? She throws up the needle in the air and she gets a... one of those threads, and she manages to thread the needle through the little eye opening as it's dropping, and she ties it up really, really gracefully without hurting herself. And Lisa tries to do it, but she only manages to prick her finger, right?
She fails miserably.
She fails miserably, right? And this is when Marge says, you just need to develop a callus. And she shows Lisa her callus, right? She pricks her finger, puts a lighter under it, and nothing hurts. She says, see? You see? Now that's a sewing finger, honey. And Lisa just goes, ugh. It's kind of disgusting in her eyes, right?
Yeah.
By the way, that genetic pre-programming thing is a thing. not necessarily that you ladies are pre-programmed to sew, but they, I teach this in my psychology class, right? They've done these studies where they raise generations of chickens inside like a big barn, never having been outside. Their mothers, their families have never been outside. They did this for like 20 generations, where they never exposed these creatures to the outside world. And what happened when they decided to try their little experiment was they had all the chicks and chickens inside the barn, and overhead they kind of had this model of a chicken hawk, and they put it like on a little how would you call those, zip lines, and they had it zip line across the ceiling of the barn, and all of the chickens and chicks freaked the hell out. Even though they had never been exposed to a predator, after 20 generations, they still recognize the danger. So that's why we say trust your gut feeling, guys. If your gut is telling you no, don't do it. It's just the primitive part of your brain trying to keep you out of trouble. Anyway, enough of the psychology lesson for the day. Let's continue. Homer is at the mall purchasing Lisa's magazines, right? And when they're rigging him up, the guy's kind of looking at him funny because he's buying a bunch of magazines that a little girl would buy, right? Teen Screen, Teen Steam, and all that crap. And when he gets that judgmental look, like, are you a pedophile or what the hell? he says, they're for my daughter. And the guy goes, sure, sure, sure.
Sure they are.
Yeah, sure they are, right? And he's walking out, but he drops everything when he sees assassins for sale on display. And he also happens to see the sticker price for the assassins. And he says, oh, $125. That might not seem like a lot today, but how much would you say $125 would have bought you back, would have bought you $125 worth of money back then would buy you today?
I think it'd be a lot more.
You'd probably buy like $200 pair of shoes, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Close to it. Yeah. So $125 back in the day was a pretty penny, especially for Homer and the Simpsons, who are constantly having fiduciary troubles, right? And, you know, we see Homer saying, oh, $125. But then we see Flanders popping up on a little thought bubble over Homer's head. And Flanders says, sometimes you have to spoil yourself, right? Homer keeps just concentrating on the spoil yourself thing, right? And Homer says, but I can't afford to. And then Flanders, right, in his little thought bubble goes, Simpson, I order you to buy those shoes. And then Homer goes, okay, Flanders, you're the boss. Hey, hey, hey. I guess as long as he can pass the blame off to somebody else, he's okay with
Flanders bossing him around.
Yeah, yeah. He's okay with Flanders bossing him around if it's to his benefit.
It's like his coping mechanism.
Yeah, yeah. As long as somebody else can take the blame for it, he's okay with it.
Yep.
Anyway, so Marge and Lisa are home, and they're contemplating making a psychedelic patch on the quilt as Bart gets home from school. And Bart goes, here's your stupid homework. And Lisa goes, ooh, phonics, functions, vocabulary, remedial reading. Oh, do your own homework, Bart. And Bart just answers, don't! Having been caught by Lisa while he was trying to cheat. Well, not cheat, but get her to do his homework for him.
Still cheating.
Yeah, it's still cheating, a form of cheating, right? And we see Homer arriving at the house and deliver Lisa's magazines, but Bart does not notice any of this at all. Why? Because he's concentrating on Homer's shoes. Why? Because he's wearing assassins, right? That's what Bart says. Whoa, assassins! And then Marge goes, oh, those are very elaborate sneakers. And Bart goes, they better be for 125 big ones. And Homer just goes, don't! Because Bart effectively ratted him out. Marge goes, $125? And Homer goes, Bart! And he starts to strangle Bart, and we hear Bart going, bah! And then Marge goes, Homer! Homer responds with, don't! And he lets go of Bart while he chokes him. And then Marge says, I thought we agreed to consult each other before making any major purchases. And Homer goes, well, you bought those smoke alarms and we haven't had a single fire. That's quite the rationalization by Homer. And Marge can only answer with, And next thing we know, we are watching the Simpson TV, and it seemingly keeps changing at random. But as the camera pans out, we see Santa's little helper, chewing on the TV remote, which explains why the channels are changing like crazy.
I like that one infomercial, right? With Troy McClure.
Yeah. Yeah, as an actor, my eyeballs need to look their whitest. Right. That's a typical Troy McClure infomercial. Right, this is a very, very elaborate setup for that one little gag. But then we see Santa's little helper gets bored with the TV remote, and he starts to look for something new to chew on. And he discovers the assassins in Homer's closet. But he can't get to them, right? Because they're up on top of a shelf.
Yeah.
And all he can do is look helplessly up at them. But then something happens. One of the laces falls down, and Santa's little helper now has something to grab and pull down. A little bit afterwards, we see Homer coming into the room and discover what looks to be his shoes torn to shreds. But he keeps following the trail, and as he follows the trail, he finds his little vanity Homer license plates of his assassins, and he sees Santa's little helper chewing the rest of his shoes up, and Homer lets out a howl, right? No! To which Santa's little helper joins him in a howl himself, right? He goes, ooh! And we can hear all of the dogs in the suburbs of Springfield be silenced by that howl and Homer's anguished scream. By the way, how would you react if you found Taco eating one of your favorite shoes?
I mean, I'm not really a shoe person, as we kind of talked about before. My shoes are like, I always buy them on sale, like $20 a pair.
Okay, but he's just shoot up all of your shoes and you're about to get to work.
I mean, if I'm about to go to work, I guess, like, yeah, that would, I just wouldn't, I don't know. What would you do? What would I do in that situation if you were to chew up on my shoes? I'm trying to think, because I could see it as both a blessing and a curse. On the one hand, I can't go to work, or I'm going to go to work late, which I guess isn't good. but it will mean that I'm not at work. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that.
And yeah, it would depend, wouldn't it? Like
how expensive those shoes were. I think that's what the
how expensive the shoes were. How early did you catch it? Did you catch it in time so you can call and ask for a sub?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna have to go out of dress code and have the principal send you home for wearing tennis shoes, sneakers, or something like that? Right.
So, because I honestly, I think it was the money, like putting myself in Homer's shoes, literally, get it, huh? Not literally, but
very funny.
I would be more upset at the fact if he did that to my expensive shoes, mostly because of the price, not so much because of the situation.
Cool. All right. So I guess we wouldn't have a taco meat for dinner that night. We'd just be very, very upset dog.
Yeah.
All right. So as we move along, we see Homer padlocking Santa's little helper to a tree and Marge going through the yellow pages. And Marge's like, oh, Homer, there seems to be a lot of good obedience schools here. And then Bart goes, oh, school. Right. Yeah, that's your answer to everything. Oh my God, Bart. I guess as long as the word school is attached to it, he's going to have a negative connotation to it. So Marge chooses a school run by one Miss Winthrop, right? I don't know if you noticed, but Miss Winthrop was actually voiced by Tracy Ullman.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, why is that cool? Because The Simpsons started off as little shorts on The Tracy Ullman Show on HBO.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So here, I don't know, like, if you, like, when you watched it, Miss Winthrop gave me a very crownish vibe. Like, that character would belong on the show with The Crown, and she'd fit in perfectly because she was so stuffy.
And she played it. She played a very good character.
Yeah, she did. She did. So on the first day of class, she demonstrates the use of the choke chain to the members of the class, the dogs and the owners, right? She goes around and she's asking the people for the dog's name, right? And she gets to Bart and like. She picks up his information sheet and is like, can I borrow Satan's little helper? And then Bart corrects her, Santa's. Can I borrow Santa's little helper? Right? And she goes, sure, right? She lends him the leash. And she's like, she starts giving him this spiel about how we all love dogs and how all they need is some love and attention and they'll learn to become perfectly civilized and follow our orders. And then she goes, wrong! Right? This is when she flips her switch and she becomes that maniacal dog trainer lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they need to be corrected quickly and mercilessly, right? And she gives Santa's little helper an order. And he does not follow it, and she pulls on the choke chain, and we see his tongue stick out, and he flops on the floor like he's dead, right? And then Martin raises his hands, like, how can we tell if we're doing this maneuver effectively? And Miss Winthrop answers, the dog's eyes will cross, and his tongue will protrude and change color ever so slightly. And then Bart goes, is my dog dead, ma'am? And Miss Winthrop goes, ha, ha, ha. You don't know how often I'm asked that. Choke chain is a misnomer. Trust me. They're always breathing. Right. Have you used any choke chains there, Maverick?
No.
I know Diego had one for Icarus at first when he was training him.
Yeah, but I remember that thing.
Yeah, but, you know, on that dog, it really wouldn't really hurt him. Why? Because he's a big, fluffy monster, right? He's got three coats of fur, and his skin is really, really tough. So, he's like, if you really, you would really have to, like, do a double hand pull on it to really, really hurt him. When you would just kind of like pull back on it slightly, he'd like jerk up and he'd follow your orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not on that anymore. He's better trained, and you need to see him. He's an even fluffier monster than you remember. He's just a gorgeous little dog. Well, not little dog, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Yep, he'll be home in about a month. Anyway, so next thing we know, we're back at the Simpson house, and Marge and Lisa are watching a rather steamy soap opera. And Lisa's like, gee, is it always this good? And Marge's like, I don't know. I just dip in and out. I guess she's kind of ashamed to be watching this with her daughter. Right? And she goes, I'm only watching today because Randy is coming out of a coma and she knows that the phony prince's body is hidden in the boathouse. Right? And then we see a woman, crazy looking priest open the door and pop in on the soap opera, and the woman covers herself up, right, because she's kind of naked, and she goes, Father McGrath, I thought you were dead. And then Father McGrath goes, I was.
Whatever show they're watching, I want to watch too.
I know, man. It has to be a soap opera on steroids, right? You even have people coming back from the dead. Usually they come back when they were presumed dead, but they never found the body, you know, right? But this guy actually came back from the dead. Anyway. Soon we see the family discussing the future of Santa's little helper as he's causing more havoc inside the Simpson house, right? Back in school... At the dog school, anyway, Bart is trying to get Santa's little helper to sit while a dog walks by with a book balanced perfectly on its head, and another dog is walking on its hind legs. You know, they're doing more advanced maneuvers while Santa's little helper still hasn't learned how to sit. The dogs are all lined up, and they roll over in perfect synchronicity, except for... You guessed it.
Santa's little helper.
Who happens to be wetting the rug at the time? Next thing we know, we see Bart cleaning up the mess while Mrs. Winthrop is giving him a talking to, right? There's two ways that dogs can relieve themselves, right? One, like a true gentleman at the appropriate time and place, and one like a fire hose without a switch or whatever, something like that. And which way did your dog relieve himself, Bart? Right? And he goes, like a fire hose, right?
Like a fire hose, your wrinkled highness.
Your wrinkled highness, right under his breath, right? He says, while this is happening, Homer boxes up the remains of his assassins into the box, and he tries to return them back at the store, right? And the store clerk goes, wait, what happened here? And Homer goes, well, my faithful dog just gently put them in his mouth and brought them over to me, and they fell apart in his mouth, right? Trying to make it seem like they were just fell apart and they weren't torn apart. And then the store clerk goes, I'm sorry, sir. Our warranty doesn't cover fire, theft, or acts of dog. And Homer is very, very upset. But as he's walking down the mall, he finds something that cheers him up, right? They're giving out free cookie samples, right? And he gobbles up the cookie samples, right? The macadamia nuts. How does he say it? He doesn't say macadamia nut, right? He says macadamia nuts or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He says it weird. I don't remember exactly how, but he doesn't say it correctly.
Yeah, so he samples all of them, and then the store clerks go, and then the girl giving the sample goes, well, if you like the samples, you can buy a cookie for a dollar over here. And then Homer goes, oh, I get it. You get me hooked first, and then you ask for money. And then he kind of goes, well, it worked, right? And he goes over to the cookie store and he buys himself a big ass cookie, right? And he gets back home. You know what? Let me see if I get this right. The girl goes, aloha, would you like a free sample, right? The price is right. And he stuffs all of the cookies into his mouth. And then he goes, oh, here we go. Let me see. Macadamia nuts is how he says it, right? Macadamia nuts, right? If you'd like some, they're only a dollar, right? So Homer goes, that's your plan, get us addicted and then jack up the price. So he buys this this huge cookie at Cookie Colossus, that's the name of the store, right? And he brings the cookie back home, but he doesn't plan on eating it, right? So he gets a pen and paper and some tape, right? And he goes, property of Homer Simpson, do not touch. And he tapes it to his cookie and he tries to put it in the cookie jar, but it doesn't really fit, right? Because it's colossal. So it's just kind of sitting on top of the cookie jar. What's his big mistake here, Maverick?
That he doesn't, I mean, it's obvious to me, like I would have broken the cookie and to make sure it fit in there and it stayed closed. But he just kind of left it hanging, very accessible on the top, not even like on the kitchen cabin or counter. It's like on the top of the table.
On the top of the table where they eat.
Yeah.
So that is very, very easy access for anyone and everyone, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So as soon as he walks away, Santa's little helper helps himself to the cookie, right? And then we go upstairs to see Marge and Lisa. And Lisa goes, look, Mom, I finished my patch. It depicts the two greatest musical influences in my life. Right, because she's sick. And she goes, on the left is Mr. Largo, my music teacher at school. He taught me that even the noblest concerto can be drained of its beauty and soul. I don't know if I would want to make that person one of my greatest musical influences if he's draining the beauty and soul out of music.
I think you're taking it the wrong way here, though.
And on the right is Bleeding Gums Murphy. He taught me that music is a fire in your belly that comes out of your mouth, so you better stick an instrument in front of it, right? So I guess this is where you get the yin and the yang, right?
Yeah.
One about suppressing everything and the other one about letting everything out.
You know what? Just really quick. This is how I took Lisa's comment. What was it that to drain the concertos of their beauty and soul?
Yeah.
I think it's to make that music come out of your instrument. So you're draining it of its beauty and soul because it's coming out the end of your instrument. Does that make sense?
Not really, but you're the band geek.
That's the way I took it. I took it as a positive thing. I was about to say like that I'm actually pretty impressed at the vocabulary, of course, that Lisa uses for a, what is she, 8-year-old?
8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive.
Second grade, 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, having no appreciable music talent myself, I will take your word for it.
Cool.
So next thing we know, we see Santa's little helper helping himself to a cool drink of water out of the toilet. And he wanders through the house and he spots the quilt. Apparently, Lisa and Marge left it unprotected, right? Because they go downstairs to bring Homer up to see the quilt. And when they see the wreckage that Santa's little helper has left behind, Marge goes, my quilt, 6 generations ruined. And then Homer goes, now, Marge, honey, 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 come on, come on. Don't get upset. It's not the end of the world. We all love that quilt, but you can't get too attached to, oh, my cookie. Right? He sees that Santa's little helper has eaten his cookie. And as he was trying to console Marge, he starts to lose it over his cookie.
So, Simpsons guy, just really quick.
Yes.
Because I remember having this conversation with two of our other brothers here, the ones that are closer to my age. And I remember talking about this specific scene when we were younger, and we were like, well, you know, out of all the things he did, Santa's Little Helper tore up, shredded, whatever. Like, what was the worst thing? Like, I asked him, what was the worst thing in your opinion that he did? Well, so I want to ask you the same question.
I would say the quilt.
Right? Yes. Okay. So I would always think like the quilt was something that is irreplaceable, right? You can't replace that.
That's six generations worth of work. That, you know, those people are dead. They can't come back and do their work again.
It's just funny that like our two of our other brothers chose, I think it was, what was it? The cookie?
The cookie
or the shoes?
The cookie cost a dollar.
The cookie or the shoes. Like they picked one of those two. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
I'm like, yeah, the shoes are expensive, but they weren't like a family heirloom.
Yeah.
Generations had worked on.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. But I agree with you on that one right there. The quilt is the most, I don't know, polarizing thing that he destroyed.
Yeah.
I would think.
Agree.
Anyway, so next thing we know, Homer yells, "Everybody in the kitchen, we're having a family meeting." And then Bart goes, "We've never had a family meeting before." And then Homer goes, "We've never had a problem with a family member we could give away before." Right. By the way, have we seen Maggie yet? I don't think we see Maggie at all in this episode.
Huh. Interesting.
It just came to mind right now because we haven't had a problem with a family member we can't give away before, you know. I haven't seen Maggie at all this episode.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so next thing we know, we get back to that predator vision type thing that we're seeing the world through Santa's Little Helper's eyes and ears, right? As Homer is yelling, announcing to the family that the dog must go, all the dog hears is blah, 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 right? And the family meeting continues. And Lisa goes, "I'm sure Mom agrees with me, right?" Because Lisa is afraid of just what kind of president this is going to be, right? A member of the family starts causing problems and we're just going to stop dealing with it, put him away, you know. By the way, I guess Lisa didn't catch the irony of her statement because Grandpa is put away in the old folks' home in Springfield Retirement Home.
Yeah. I mean, they're not given away, though, but still not in the best situation he could be in.
Yeah. Right. And Lisa goes, "I'm sure Mom agrees with me." And then Marge goes, "No, I'm afraid I agree with your father." And then Homer goes, "You do?" Right. Very surprised. And he starts taunting and dancing. And Lisa goes, "This is our pet. We can question his integrity and disposition, but we can't question his heart. Are you trying to teach us that the way to solve a problem with something we love is to throw it away?" And then at this point, Homer is weeping. He says, "Oh, Lisa, if they're ever going to pull the plug on me, I want you in my corner, honey." Right. I guess that Lisa's argument has won Homer over. By the way, that whole pulling the plug thing, that is a talk you need to have with your significant other. Me and my wife have had this several times about when we want the plug pulled on us and in what situations we would do it and stuff like that. I've told her, "Look, if this happens and, you know, just pull the plug on me. Don't worry what my family says. This is my wish. I don't care what the hell kind of looks they give you. This is what I want you to do." Right? And she tells me the same thing. But I go, wait. You got to make sure that your family knows, because my family is more or less going to say, okay, go ahead. Right? But your family is going to flip out. "Oh, you're trying to kill my daughter," and stuff, you know. my sister, like, oh, no. I'm gonna make sure that they know. Right. So this whole pulling the plug thing, if you ever do get married or, you know, you're living with a person, you need to have that talk. you really do. Anyway, moving on to something more lighthearted than pulling the plug on a life, on a loved one. Marge says the pet can stay if and only if he passes the dog obedience school. Now we're back at the school, and Santa's little helper is refusing to roll over. And, Homer pretty much is positive that the dog is going to flunk. So he's already writing an ad to sell Santa's little helper in the newspaper. By the way, guys, yes, that was a thing. You used to place ads in newspapers, you know, help wanted, all these things. You're selling your dog, dogs for sale, and stuff like this. You would buy ads in newspapers. And in case you're wondering why newspapers are dying, is because nobody's buying ads in newspapers anymore. Why? Because we can just
go on the internet.
Look at the ads on our phones over the internet, right? So people stop buying the ads in the newspapers. So consequently, that used to be like 50% of their revenue. 50% of the revenue is now gone. So now newspapers are dying left and right. Anyway, so just in case you're wondering, what do you mean by he's writing an ad for the newspaper? That's just an FYI. That is what we used to do back in the day. I remember writing some ads for sale to place in the bargain book. I mean, we still get the bargain book, but it's not what it used to be back in the day. Those of you that are wondering what the bargain book is, and think of a penny saver or any free paper like that, right? Anyway, we see Homer dictating the ad. Free to loving home, world's most brilliant dog says I love you on command. And we can see that Marge isn't very happy, or that one, she's writing the ad ahead of time, and two, that Homer is lying profusely about how smart the dog is, because she knows that Santa's little helper is basically an idiot. Would you disagree with me here?
I'm going to say yes and no, because dogs, unfortunately, I mean, I know that there are some dogs that are smarter than others, but to be at the point that Santa's little helper is at, I blame the family more than I blame the dog.
Right. It's usually the bigger the dog is, the smarter they are.
Yeah.
He's a nice sized dog, so he should be somewhat intelligent.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that Bart never took the time to barter Homer, Marge. Nobody ever took the time to really kind of train him doing anything.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I don't blame Santa's little helper that much, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're back at the school, and Bart is failing to impress Miss Winthrop. And she's saying, now, sit. I said, sit. And as Santa's little helper walks away, he goes, take a walk. Sniff that other dog's butt. See? He does exactly what I tell him. Right? And, of course, Miss Winthrop is not buying this at all. Next thing we know, we see Homer. He's playing the role of salesman here. You know, when salesmen are trying to sell you that car and they want to close the sale, they're hard selling you, right? This is what Homer is doing with Santa's little helper with some guy on the phone, right? He's telling him how smart he is, and he's like, Marge, bring the dog over. And he pretends to be Santa's little helper. He starts doing the noises himself, and he says, Tell the nice man you love him, right? And then with the dog voice, Homer goes, I will go. And then he goes, sure. Then they sort of make a pact to introduce him to the dog, and Homer hangs up happily, right? Because he thinks he's this close to giving him away. Back at the school, Santa's little helper is unable to restrain himself from eating a beef Wellington, right? Miss Winthrop says, let's see how well your dogs obey you, right? And how they've mastered the command, stay, right? She says, stay. And all of them just sit down really perfectly still, except for Santa's little helper, right? Bart kind of grabs him, and he's trying to pull him back while Santa's little helper drags him over to the beef Wellington, and he starts to eat it, right? In front of Miss Winthrop. Back at the Simpsons house, we see a potential customer comes by to inspect Santa's little helper, right? Apparently he's a farmer, right? Because he plans to make Santa's little helper a working dog, right? He says, most people think that dogs can't pull stuff, but patient people know better, right? Kind of gives you the idea that Santa's little helper is in for a rough life of a working farm animal. And of course, Homer doesn't really care about this as long as they get him out of the house, right?
Yep.
Bart is then kind of tries to sweet talk Miss Winthrop into letting Santa's little helper pass. He says, you know, you're getting paid anyway. What's the harm in giving him the passing him? Right. And Miss Winthrop takes this very personally, right? I see, right? Just what the world needs. Another college graduate who doesn't know how to read, right? And she proceeds to lecture him about the worth of earning a degree. In this case, you know, the obedience, the dog obedience degree. Not just any degree, but, you know, that this applies to everything in life, right? She says, this is what happens when you pass people who are not qualified to pass. You get chaos all over, right? Because they're not qualified to do the work that they're supposed to be able to do. So Bart goes home really, really dejected because he knows that Santa's little helper will be unable to pass the test, right? And when we get back home, Lisa has begun work on a new family quilt. And the first panel shows the destruction of the old panel, right? And she shows Marge, right? It's, you know, I can be a link to the past, or we can start a fresh quilt from now on, right? And she said she'd rather start the fresh quilt, and she shows her the work. And then she shows Marge her quilter's finger, right? She pricks it, and she does the lighter thing. And then they both realize that they both have the quilter's finger. And I don't know if you caught this, right? But then they touch fingers, kind of like a homage to E.T.
Yeah.
Right? I thought it was like an homage to E.T. when E.T. and Elliot touched their fingers, right? This is what's happening when Marge and Lisa touch fingers, right? And then Lisa sees Bart outside with the dog, trying to get him to sit, to roll over, to play dead. And then Lisa suggests that they spend, you know, he doesn't know by now. He's never going to know. He's never going to learn, right? So she suggests that they spend their last few hours together playing, enjoying their time together instead of running these drills that Santa's little helper is never going to get, right? And Bart kind of like gives in and starts to enjoy his dog and plays with him. And really, really late at night, he starts to break down. He says, I'm going to miss you, boy, right? I can't believe I'm going to lose you, all because you won't sit. Right. And at this point, right, Santa's little helper hears blah, 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 sit. And he sits down in some sort of breakthrough miracle. Right. And then he goes, blah, 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 roll over. So the dog rolls over. He lays down. He does all these other things. And next thing you know, you shake hands. Right. Next thing we know, We're at the dog obedience school, and we hear him. We hear the command shake, and Santa's little helper reaches up and shakes Mrs. Winthrop's hand. And this is my favorite line from the episode toward the end. And Miss Winthrop goes, "You son of a bitch. Good show," right? And she hands Bart the dog's diploma. And we see Homer clapping kind of hesitantly at first, kind of looking angry. But then he accepts the dog and he starts cheering him happily. Yes, Santa's little helper is a Simpson in Homer's eyes once again. And at the end, we sort of, this is a, I don't know if it's a, one of those, it's one of those homages that we see in several movies that I think this goes back to Revenge of the Nerds, one of those types of movies. What happens to those, to the people after they graduate, right? Here they give us a little thing of what happened to some of these dogs after they graduated. We see Buddy, which is a cute little furry dog. They say he ran away from home. Then we see Lao Tzu, which is a bigger, furry, Asian-looking dog, right? One of those Asian breeds, which is why I imagine they called him Lao Tzu. We see he ate a poison toad, and he is now in a coma. Then we see Santa's little helper, and he says that he bit Bart, but Homer did not mind at all. And this is how we end the episode. The Simpson family stays intact, pets and all, and Homer doesn't mind that Santa's little helper bit his son. So, is there anything that you think I missed about this episode there, Maverick?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, dope, nuts. What would you rate this episode as?
So I get the feeling I may not be invited next week.
Oh my god.
Because this episode, I give it a 2 dope nuts rating.
Only two. Okay, I'm going to have to hear your explanation.
Yeah, I mean, so the episode is very relatable. On a relatable scale, because, you know, we always talk about how relatable The Simpsons are. This is probably one of the most relatable episodes in the entire show itself, because it's very grounded. It's very true to life what would happen if you have a dog who's out of control. You know, and I know, like, The Simpsons family, much like a lot of families who probably struggle to raise dogs on their own without any guidance beforehand, that they're gonna have a dog like Santa's little helper unless they know what they're doing, unless they either take him to obedience classes or really take the time, like Bart did at the end, to just spend time with your dog so they can understand you, so they can listen to your commands. Yeah. And to me, the jokes were far and few in between, because I think it was painting a picture more of, like, reality instead of fantasy, which is why I love The Simpsons. You know, that they put themselves in such outlandish situations sometimes that, you know, it's a cartoon, but it also has some real points. In this one, I felt like everything was just too real, too relatable.
Fair enough. I'm not that far off of you, right? I would give this a rating of 3 dope nuts. Not 2, but I would give it 3. Why would I give it 3? Because it is an enjoyable episode. We did get that classic line that we still use as a family. Well, then feed him. And then, yes, master. Yes, right? We still use that. So I would give this a 3, solid 3 don't nuts on the scale, just for that, right? I don't like the premise that they're threatening to give away the family pet because he's being a big pain in the ass and all that. But it is an enjoyable episode. The outcome is Very pleasing, and we did get that. We did get some classic lines out of this as well. So I would give it 3 donuts. You would give it 2. So I guess this would average 2.5 donuts from our ratings. Right. So if our audience would care to see it, they can make up their mind on their own in case they haven't seen this episode. All right. So before we wrap this up, is there anything you'd like to let our growing audience know about Maverick?
No, I mean, nothing I didn't already say in the beginning, but in case you forgot, it's you can follow me at Casual Clixon on Twitter and Instagram. That's CasualClixon, Casual Clixon. You can also find the videos I'm uploading to YouTube. It doesn't have a specific name that you can look for it, but you can still just look for it under Casual Clixon and you'll find my videos there as well.
Are you doing a bunch of those keywords?
What do you mean?
When you upload your video.
Oh, yeah.
Know, because when you upload your video, you're doing the hero clicks and all that, Marvel, all that.
Yeah.
It helps. It helps.
Yeah. Like, it's all Marvel comics and DC comics related. I know Hero Clicks also has, like, Lord of the Rings, Yu-Gi-Oh, some other stuff. But no, I stick specifically to Marvel comics and DC comics. So if that's something that interests you already, that's another reason for you to go check out my YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this because I'm his brother and stuff, but the videos were very professional looking and very informative. In case you guys are looking for a way to stay entertained during this catastrophe, right? This would be one thing that you can do to help yourself out, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it'll give you at least some interest to see if maybe you'd like to play the game and learn how to play the game.
Yep. I concur. And of course, do not forget to visit our show Instagram page, which is official_ Homer's Donuts. Homer's _ Donuts without the apostrophes, right? It's official underscore. It's official_ Homer's Donuts. Please don't forget to visit. Actually, I think I gave you the wrong one again. Official_Homer's_ Donuts without the apostrophes. And that will get you to the official show Instagram page. And you can see some of the spicy homegrown Simpsons related memes that Maverick and I like to produce every now and then. Anything else, Maverick, before I end this episode?
No, thanks for having me on, like always. It's always a pleasure being on at your Simpsons podcast here, Homer's Donuts.
All right. And until next week, I'm sorry I missed last week. Like I said, I was on a 2-week vacation. I did manage to put out one that I had pre-recorded, but I didn't have time to pre-record this one, so that's why it's going to be late. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.